theme song means David Wheaton is on the air with us. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning, Bill.
You know, I love Max Lucado. He was saying, be of good cheer, it says in John 16, I have overcome the world. And are we characterized as Christians? Are we people of good cheer?
Well, that's critical because we should be. Above all people anywhere in the world, we should be most of good cheer, right? Because we know what God does in the end. We know that Christ is going to return. We know if you know Christ as your Savior and Lord, you know you have an eternal home in heaven someday. So, yeah, I think this world tends to get us down sometimes, and rightfully so. We saw what happened last night or yesterday in New York, and these things sort of think, what kind of world do we live in? But we should be of good cheer because Christ has overcome the world. We're his follower, and so we can overcome with his help.
But is there a natural hostility towards followers of Christ because the world hates us and the world hates Jesus? And so we're already a little defensive when we go out there. Do you think that's an issue as well?
Yeah, I think that's very natural, and I feel that all the time. You know, you feel like you're an alien living in this world. You look at the worldview and the things that go on around you, and you see things the way that God didn't intend them to be. I've been reading through the Gospel of John recently, and you read how Christ was, how they responded, how the religious leaders of his day responded to him. They hated him. They wanted him dead. And you think, this is a man who is performing miracles, who's healing people who are paralyzed from birth, who are blind, who is feeding people, and he's preaching about God and good things, offering good news to people that you can be forgiven of their sins. And yet that message was hated because people, the religious leaders especially, were self-righteous. They thought they didn't need this, and this overturned their power system, so to speak. And they hated it. And so I think if Christ was hated for what he taught and what he did, we as his followers who are nothing even close to him, can we expect to be actually liked by the world? So it's a different mindset, but we don't want to be defensive either. We know we believe in the truth. It's based on scripture. The Christian or biblical worldview is the most defendable, truthful worldview by far of all. And so we have the truth in our side, so we shouldn't feel that way. We should have hope, as you were saying.
I agree. David, let's talk about a few Latin phrases this morning. Let's talk about the five solas. Let's start with sola scriptura.
Well, these came out of the Reformation period of time, which started in 1517, yesterday, October 31st. It's really tragic that the Western civilization celebrates that as Halloween, when it really is the day that Martin Luther posted those 95 theses in protest of the indulgences system of the Roman Catholic Church back in Wittenberg, Germany. That was 500 years ago. And as a result of that, that Reformation period didn't just influence Christianity, which would have been big enough, obviously adding a third branch of Eastern Orthodoxy, Roman Catholicism, and then Protestantism, protest Reformation, right? Mm-hmm. Reform the church. It affected the whole, really all of Western civilization. I mean, America today is in large part a product of Reformation thinking. Our founders, people who impacted this country and still do. I mean, the reason we have churches on every street corner, and they're not just one church, the Roman Catholic Church in this country, is because of the Protestant Reformation. So that's just a little context as to mm-hmm. how it started and the impact. But you were talking about the five solas. Well, the reformers, whether it was Luther, Calvin, Knox, others, Zwingli, that were leaders during the Reformation time, came up with, or sort of people who analyzed what they were teaching, came up with five solas of that particular time. And sola means alone. So it was, as you mentioned, scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and for God's glory alone. I won't give them in Latin, but let's just do them in English. But the first one is scripture alone, and that I think is the basis upon which we know all the other of the four of the other four solas. In other words, scripture is the authority, the basis for what we know to be true. Mm-hmm. And so Luther and the other reformers were saying all these alones were put in there because the Roman Catholic Church had basically said we are the ones, it's scripture plus our councils plus our pope who decides on what is the authority, what is the basis for truth in life. And the reformers rejected that and said, no, it's scripture alone. The Catholic Church had said that one is justified by faith, but also keeping some of the sacraments of the Catholic Church. And the reformers said, no, it's by God's grace alone through faith alone. There's no addition of works to that. So all these alones were added, not because the word alone is in Scripture, it's because they were making a point that it's just Scripture only that we get our authority. Scripture is over and above any church, any institution, any man. It's by faith alone, without the addition of any of our own personal merit contributing to our faith, that actually just God justifies us, not based on our work. So those were some, that's just a little context. It's probably a little brief, but hopefully that gave you the sense of it.
Yeah, so the sola scriptura is basically that everything we learn about God and the world and all other authorities should be interpreted in light of Scriptures.
That is exactly right. And so up until this time in the early 1500s, there was a 1,000-year period of time called the Dark Middle Ages, or sometimes called the Dark Ages. And this is because the Roman Catholic Church was basically the powerful institution of the time. There weren't nation states in Europe like there are now. There was more like kingdoms and nobles and peasants. And there was this merging of church and the ruling authorities. And so they dominated life. There was one church in every time. It was the Roman Catholic Church. 95% of the people were illiterate or more. And the Bible was not translated into any of the languages of Europe. And so think about who's controlling the interpretation of what Scripture says. You know, people would go to Mass on Sunday and the priest would preach in Latin. They couldn't even understand it. They never got a chance to read the Bible. And so the authority was not the Bible. The authority was how the Roman Catholic Church interpreted the Bible. So it was all according to them. Mm-hmm. And so this issue, it might think sort of obtuse, you know, this is 500 years ago. What's going on back then? I mean, how is that relevant for me today? Well, this is most relevant in every way for everyone listening today, because there is something that is the authority in your life, whether you have identified it or not. Something is driving your decisions every day as to how you know right from wrong. You know, for instance, if you're tempted, let's say, to get into an adulterous affair at your workplace, what is the thing that's saying, no, I shouldn't do that? And what is that thing based on? Well, if it's based on Scripture, you're going to say, no, this is wrong. This is offensive to God. I would be sinning before him and also sinning against this other person's family. That comes from the authority of Scripture. If you don't have the authority of Scripture, you're just kind of working on your own personal, well, here's what I think. Here's my opinion on this. You know, then you're going to do what's right in your own eyes, basically. That's what right. Scripture says. And so that's why the authority of Scripture is so critically important in our lives, to say, this is the truth. This is what I'm going to base every single decision I make in my life on, because it is the truth. God established Scripture. He inspired it. It's without error. It's all sufficient in my life.
Sounds like you've thought about this before. You know, thank goodness for the restraining power of the Holy Spirit, because it is the governor that keeps us oftentimes in a place of obedience, the only way we stay obedient.
Absolutely.
Yeah. David, let me take a little breather here. When we come back, I want to continue our conversation about the solas. When we come back, let's talk about the grace of God. And It's 13 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll be back with David Wheaton in just a minute.
This is Max Licato. One morning, my wife, Dylan, was with me in the car. I'm about to remind you why you married me, I told her as we drew near to the intersection. See that long line of cars? See that humdrum of humanity? Not for me. Hang on. I swerved from the sixth lane onto the one lane and shared with my sweetheart my secret expressway to freedom. What do you think? I asked, awaiting her worship. I think you broke the law. What? You just went the wrong way on a one-way street. I did. I missed the do not enter sign. You know, before coming to Christ, we all had our share of shortcuts. What we consider shortcuts, God sees as disasters. He doesn't give laws for our pleasure. He gives them for our protection. He knows what we need. This is Max Licato.
I was smoking crack, and I was upon the TV that I was watching, and a commercial for Teen Challenge came on. I called that number, and I came in the doors of Teen Challenge. Jesus just got a hold of me, and I can tell you, I have been transformed.
Hi, I'm Phil Joel. Freedom from addiction is possible. If you know a teen or an adult stuck in addiction, Teen Challenge can help. 1-855-END-ADDICTION or teenchallengeusa.com. Freedom from addiction starts here.
Stress is an epidemic in our world today. All of our high-tech conveniences seem to have only increased the frantic pace of our lives. So how do we keep up without breaking down or wearing out? Discover the answer Wednesday on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Afternoons at 5 p.m. Central Time on Faith Radio.
Glad you're with us this morning. It's 11 minutes until the top of the hour. I'm speaking to David Wheaton. We're talking about the 501 day anniversary of the Reformation. And David, let's talk a little bit about grace alone. We're saved by the grace of God alone.
Yeah, that was one of the five solas, sola scriptura and then sola gratia. In other words, grace alone.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular one means, and this is what the Reformers extracted from Scripture, and we'll give you some verses in a second, but that it's God's sovereign initiative. You know, grace is God's a gift. It's God's sovereign initiative, his power, his goodness is what saves a sinner. And it's as opposed to man sort of having a meritorious contributing factor in his salvation. So, mm-hmm. You know, a great verse about this is John 1, where it says, "But as many as received him, Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." Now, this is key, who were born again, not of blood. So it doesn't come from human lineage, nor of the will of the flesh. So it doesn't come from our own will that we were smart enough and we willed our salvation, nor of the will of man, but of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. So that's what sola gratia is saying. It's saying your salvation, your justification comes from God's initiative. Yes, we must repent and believe in the gospel. There's this issue of human responsibility, and this is a tension that we cannot reconcile in our finite human minds. Well, is it of God's grace alone, or do we have to do anything? Well, yes, in a sense, we have to receive the gift. Just like when someone offers you a gift for Christmas, you have a choice, right? You can either receive it or you can reject it. It's the same thing with God's grace. When he offers us his grace of salvation, in other words, sending his son to pay the price that we deserve to pay on that cross, when Christ pays the penalty for our sin, God says, you can be forgiven. I will consider you to have Christ's righteousness because all your sins, past, present, and future, have been paid for in Christ in that sacrifice on the cross. This is my gift of grace to you. Now, here it is for you to receive it or reject it. So, yes, there is human responsibility there, but the initiative comes from God.
David, even when we talk about human responsibility, it's God lifts the veil of darkness for us to even see truth. We can't respond unless he does that.
That's exactly right. And actually, faith in Ephesians 2 is said as being a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. So in other words, grace is a gift, but so is faith. Just having the faith to believe is a gift from God. And so really what this does is it should make us more humble and even more thankful that God just opened our blind eyes to give us the faith to believe, to understand that we are sinners. We have no way of being right with God, aside from God sending his own perfect son to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world and putting our faith, our trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. That's the only way we can be saved, and actually leads to, I think, greater thankfulness, knowing that it's really not of us. It's really all of God.
Mm-hmm. David, another one of the five solas is Solus Christus. I never thought I'd be on the radio talking Latin with you, but here we are. Here we go.
Well, that was good pronunciation. Not that I would know.
Yeah,
but this
I
one
took
is.
I took Latin in high school, just so you know.
Well, that's evident.
Yes.
So in Christ alone, this is another, again, sola means alone. In Christ alone is salvation. In other words, no other human mediator or work is necessary apart from Christ. So the Roman Catholic Church, you know, had all these sacraments you had to keep. There's been over time in the church that, you know, Mary is a co-redemptrix, that kind of thing. The Reformers rejected this, looked to Scripture and saw what it says in the book of Acts. There's only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
What Christ said about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In other words, you might think people sometimes, the unsaved ears hear this, that only in Christ alone is salvation. They think, oh, that's incredibly exclusivistic. You know, that's discriminatory against those who wouldn't believe in him. Well, yes, it is exclusivistic. He's the only way. But you can also look at it another way. It's incredibly inclusivistic. In other words, all who come to Christ in repentance and faith will be saved. It's open to anyone, no matter what your background, your nationality, no matter how much you've sinned in life. God says that you can be saved through this one way, through my son. So thank God he provided a one way for us to be right with him.
Mm-hmm. You know, all faith has exclusivity. I mean, try mm-hmm. to become a Hindu, but tell them you're not interested in reincarnation. They'll probably show you the door.
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
I've saved the last one. This is a little bit tricky. We live for the glory of God alone. I want to get your take on that.
Well, this is really the key purpose in life. You know, I think all of us at some point in life, or hopefully more than at one point in life, think about, why are we here? What's our purpose in life? You know, the Westminster Catechism said, what's the chief end of man? Is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And I think that's important to think about, because it's sort of like your mission statement in life. You know, every successful organization or person has a really clearly defined mission statement. What's my purpose? And that's sort of a guiding, motivational understanding of why I'm here. And that's what that sola does, soli Deo Gloria, is that it's a purpose. Like, God created us. Why am I here? God created me specifically, says in Psalm 139. He created the heavens and the earth. He created men and women, Genesis 1. And he created us so that we would know him and then live our lives to bring glory to him. That is the purpose of your life. No matter what you're doing today, where you're driving in your car, that is your purpose in life. You can be in any career, any line of work, but your purpose is, as a believer, is to know Christ closer and glorify God in whatever you do. And so that's something I think is very relevant and important for us to think about on a really regular occurrence, because this keeps us on that narrow road that leads to life, rather than getting distracted by all the distracting things in life. Our purpose in life is not to just make more money, or to buy more stuff and bigger houses, or just to have a family, or just to be married, or all the other motivations that tempt us and distract us so often in life. Our highest motivation for the believer is to know God and to bring glory to him in whatever we do in life.
So true, David. And, you know, people of good cheer, I would say, are the Wheatons. And I would say a lot of credit goes to your parents, Bruce and Mary Jane. So thank you to them, who I bet are listening this morning.
Well, they probably are, and they will be the first ones to say that's because of God's grace alone.
And I knew that answer as well. So thank you so much, David. I'll speak to you next week. Have a great week.
You too, Bill.
You bet. 3 minutes till the top of the hour. We'll take a short break and wrap up the big show. Be back in a minute.